Okay, we are right at 1 o'clock, and we're going to go ahead and kick things off with our workshop, and so take it away.
All right, well, thank you. I'd like to introduce Dr. Michelle Goldis, who is our Associate Vice President for Enrollment Services, and she also oversees our dual enrollment office and all the good stuff that goes with that. And so Michelle will give you a presentation on this. We just left, actually. I got here from a meeting with the school district, the superintendent, and all the principals. We were at the ATC going over what we offer out there and how dual enrollment can take advantage of that. So with that, Michelle, it's all yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'd also like to start by introducing my small but mighty dual enrollment team.
Is it on?
I'm Jade Austin. I'm the Assistant Director of Dual Enrollment.
I am Natalie Sothen. I'm the Dual Enrollment Coordinator.
So, to get started, I'm just going to give you an overview of our eligible programs, the process for dual enrollment, the enrollment, just an update on enrollment totals and graduation, and then what we have to continue building this program. So in case you're not familiar at all, dual enrollment is a program that is governed by statute. It allows both middle and high school students to earn concurrent high school and college credit. We work with several partners, which I'll talk about in just a few moments, but students are eligible to participate in our certificate, associate, and baccalaureate programs. And it's no cost to the student. Their tuition and books are covered by this, so it's an incredible opportunity for our students, and it keeps us very busy. High-level eligibility requirements. This is open to students that are in grades 6 through 12, enrolled in a public, private, or home-educated program in our service districts of Volusia and Flagler County. Obviously, approval from their parent and school counselor. Once the student applies to the college, their next step is placement. And for our college credit programs, they require a minimum 3.0 high school GPA, which means they have to have taken at least one high school level course. So a question we get often is, how does a middle school student qualify? They have to have taken and passed at least one high school level course and earn that 3.0 high school GPA. And then they can qualify with a variety or combination of our placement opportunities. And then for our vocational certificate programs, that requires a minimum 2.0 cumulative unweighted high school GPA, and the students will take the CASAS for entry into those programs. I'm not going to read this whole thing, just wanted to show you the wide array of placement options they have. They can take PERT, SAT, ACT, PSAT, pre-ACT, CLT, and then also new since 2021, students in public Florida high schools can use some high school coursework to qualify into math courses, which they like, and they've always been able to use AP, IB, and ACE to earn some college credit as well. We offer programs in a variety of areas. I didn't list every single one. Essentially, anything that isn't limited access is primarily included in eligibility for dual enrollment for us. All of our vocational certificates, with the exception of barbering and cosmetology, programs do have to be on the state's CAPE industry certification lists, and then unfortunately those two are not, but everything else does qualify for dual enrollment. And then the majority of our bachelor's degrees, with the exception of our healthcare programs that are limited access.
Right, just on that, so limited access, if you're not familiar, those are like, you know, we're open access generally speaking, but for nursing, for example, you have to have taken certain prerequisite courses with a certain GPA and the TEAS exam to get into nursing. So those are not open access. Those have admission requirements and are competitive. And so we have a lot of the health ones have it, nursing, PTA, OTA, radiography, and so forth. Yeah.
And those programs do require clinicals that have age requirements. So dual enrollment students, while they can't participate in the actual nursing program, if a student told us they wanted to take that route, what we would do is advise them through the pathway of an AA to take all of their prerequisites to get into that program and provide that pathway for them. With our vocational certificate programs, as you can see, like with everything except barbering and cosmetology, the majority of those programs are located at the ATC. Our welding program is here in Daytona and coming soon to Deltona. And then we just launched our CNC machining at the beautiful Deltona campus. We offer both day and night programs for these students, and they do have to be 16 by the first day of class because heavy machinery on. So high level with the process, what I laid on all of your stations is kind of an overview of this process. And the first thing that we encourage our families to do is an information session to learn about the program. We cover, in a little more depth than what I'm giving you today, the eligibility requirements, all of these things to get them started. They do need to talk to their school counselor because they have to verify that they do have that high school GPA and that they're also on track for graduation. This is a big conversation that we have with both of our school district partners, that they're working with their school counselors to make sure that if a student is asking to participate in dual enrollment, they're also on track for high school graduation, because that is always paramount. This is a dual credit opportunity, but their first priority is graduating from high school. So they are working to ensure that the students that are taking our courses are meeting those testing requirements and those benchmarks that they need to be on track for high school graduation. Once they apply to us, then they're free to sign up for all of the other pieces. They can take their placement testing with us. Both school districts offer the PERT test in the high schools, which is great. They started doing that about 3 years ago. So they align their PERT testing dates with our enrollment cycle so that students are right now taking the PERT so that they're ready for this registration period. So they're offered the opportunity to take it at their high school, or they can come take it at DSC as well. Once they have their student ID, then they move on to complete their online orientation and new student advising session, which Jay will talk about in a moment, and then they submit their registration requests. Dual-enrolled students are registered by our team. There are a lot of guardrails for these students because it requires that, you know, compliance on both sides. So we work very closely with all of our dual-enrollment partners to keep them on track. This year, in June, we launched our new admissions application college-wide for all students. And what came along with that is the opportunity to provide a dual enrollment specific application. You know, we now have a application fee. Our dual enrolled students do not pay for that, but this application has smart logic built in so that students are sure to complete the correct application, and it defines at the top, are you applying for our dual enrollment program to earn credit while still in middle or high school? So now we have the opportunity to kind of spell out what it is, make sure they're getting the right application, which then bypasses all of those residency requirements and things that other students will do. So this has been a very welcome improvement. The responses that students get from the college are exciting. They get confetti once they're accepted. So it was a big change and welcome for students, and a lot easier for our counselors at the high schools to assist them with these applications. I am now going to bring Jade up to talk to you about the onboarding process. So fun fact, Jade is a part of our master's cohort at UCF. And so they are working on a practicum right now. And so Jade is working smarter. And in addition to doing all of the regular improvements we do with dual enrollment, Jade's practicum hours are being spent reimagining and just reexamining our entire onboarding process, not just for dual enrollment, but for all of our students. So tell them about the onboarding.
Yes, so with dual enrollment students in particular, we want to find...
You gotta speak in the mic. If you can't stand still, you can take her with you.
With our dual enrollment population in mind, we want to provide them with, like Michelle said, those guardrails and that scaffolding to help them learn about the enrollment process. And our new student process updates are to help facilitate that. One of the new things we've launched as an institution is our new orientation. So our old orientation was non-specific. It was basically like a welcome and orientation video that students found in their portal, and it gave very broad, non-specific information. This new orientation is available to all students, and it still lives in their portal, but they have the ability to access it after their orientation is complete as well. So it's also a tool that they use for reference throughout their college career, and it's now specialized. So dual enrollment students in particular receive dual enrollment specific information, and we have the capability to update it regularly, where before it was a video, so it didn't have that kind of semester by semester update capability. It's a lot more personalized, branded, and engaging. I'm in it, so it's great. But there are timed videos in there, so it's something that a student does actually have to participate in and follow through with. You can't just click through it and say it's done. But that's great because it does scaffold them to get the information that they need. part of our onboarding process with our students. In addition to orientation, students also complete a new student advising session. That is a virtual through Teams presentation that we do. It's about an hour, hour and 10 minutes. They sign up a little bit in advance of the session, and myself or Natalie present those. And in that session, we cover a little bit more of the nitty-gritty that students need to know, the things that they don't know as they are starting to enroll in college. We cover the important things like the program availability for dual enrollment students and how to register for classes, but we also cover the things they don't know to ask about. Things like your syllabus, your academic calendar, and the resources available to you as a DE student. We also take that presentation to highlight the differences between college and high school coursework. DSC Basics is a new thing that we have implemented with our Student Life Skills department for this semester. DSC Basics is a non-credit, one-credit, or it's not four-credit, but it's a one-credit lab that goes alongside SLS 1122, which is the first class that our students take in their AA degree. DSC Basics was designed for the SLS classes on our high school campuses. All Flagler and Volusia County public high schools offer a section of SLS 1122 each semester on their campus. So this is a great way for a dual enrollment student to start the program without having to come to one of our campuses. And DSC Basics was implemented for those students as a way to fill the first 2 weeks of their high school year before DSC classes begin. So those students who are taking SLS 1122 on their high school campus are actually in that high school classroom a little bit ahead of when our semester starts. So DSC Basics is designed to show them what it is like to take a course at the college level. It helps familiarize them with their Falcon Online course shell and the Falcon Mail and their self-service and all of that. In there, we also help provide them with resources so that before their class even begins, they know about our academic support center, tutoring, and writing centers. As a dual enrollment student has to work towards completing both a high school diploma and a college degree or certificate, we do have that scaffolding in place, so there are additional rules for these students as they are selecting courses. For articulation reasons, they are limited to 3 or 4 credit hour courses, so those few 1-2 credit ones don't apply to them. And in order to ensure that their high school graduation requirements are being met, we do require that the school counselor at the high school approves their registration request each semester before the requests come to us. Dual enrollment at DSC is also unique because we allow our students to be full-time enrolled in the college from day one. A lot of other institutions that offer dual enrollment don't allow that. We do not restrict the amount of credits. Some schools scaffold it so that way when you're a new student, you can only take like 1 or 2 classes. We allow students to be in up to 15 or about 5 classes from the start. And an additional form of guardrail that we have in place for our AA degree seeking students is that we do require they complete the general education portion of their degree before pursuing electives. This is to ensure that students are making smart decisions with the use of their elective credits. Gone are the days that electives are for kind of the funner classes. They are designed to be used with intention, and they are designed to be used for the prerequisites for a student's intended bachelor's degree. And to help ensure that students are making those smart choices with their electives, we require that their gen eds are completed first. Dual enrollment students can also take courses in any modality. They can take courses on any campus, so we offer them a lot of flexibility there with scheduling. They are responsible for their own transportation if they take classes on a DSC campus. And we also do have a limitation to the amount of online classes that a DE student can take. Because the classwork and the pace of a course at the college level is a little different than what they're familiar with in high school, we do limit them to no more than 2 fully online college courses until they've completed 30 earned credits with a 3.5 DSC GPA. Mentioned this briefly already, but SLS 1122, Managing Your Success, is a first semester requirement for all AA degree seeking students. We offer this, of course, on all of our campuses and online, but we also have those sections available to students on their Flagler or Volusia County high schools. It's designed to prepare students for what a college class entails. We cover more information on our resources and also some of the soft skills they need to learn, like technology skills, time money management skills, things like that. And in order to maintain eligibility for our program, students do have to keep up that 3.0 cumulative unweighted high school GPA for college credit or a 2.0 for vocational. And for the college, they must maintain a 2.0 DSC GPA. We do review grades at the end of each semester, and if a student gets off track, they get below a C in a course, like a D, F, or W1. We have a retake policy that our dual enrollment students adhere to. They retake the failed course by itself the following semester, so that way they can focus just on that one college course. They pass it, and the new passing attempt is what is factored into their GPA. So we that's something also unique to dual enrollment at DSC. Other institutions don't quite have that same retake and grade forgiveness policy for their dual enrollment students. For a lot of other institutions, you fail and you're done, but we have that grade forgiveness and support for students as well. And turn back over to Dr. Davis.
I have a question.
Yes.
Does the school districts have a dedicated counselor for this program?
Oops, sorry.
Not a person that just does dual enrollment. They, all of their school counselors have a caseload of students, like an alpha.
That's why I asked, because they're overworked.
100% they are.
Okay, and I think we need to encourage them. Mm-hmm. If you want to have these kids to be successful, mm-hmm. you gotta have a counselor mm-hmm. that is ready, available, to assist them, and also counselors to assist the other kids in high school. But this, I think, is something that we should try and emphasize with the school districts. You gotta have a dedicated counselor. Approximately how much dual enrollment students are in Volusia County?
About 1,500.
And in Flagler County?
About 364.
Okay, so, you know, like Volusia, should have at least two counselors dedicated to, at least two counselors, Flagler maybe two, because I've been down there and talked to some of them, mm-hmm. and you know, the counselors are overworked. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think this is something that we should encourage or try to mm-hmm. have them dedicate and so that they can make sure that this program is successful.
And they did in 2021, under the previous superintendent, they hired in Volusia 10 college and career coordinators, and their job was dual enrollment only. They dissolved all of those positions about a year ago. So they did for a while, and then now it is redistributed again to, but I agree, it's a lot. And we're very intentional when we meet with them. We are, the first and last thing I will say to them is, I know you don't work for DSC. I'm not here to train you and add something to your plate. We're here to give you the resources to tell you what we need from you so that we can get you the pathway to get the students to us so we can take, you know, the piece that we need to advise them on. But yeah.
Something that we really need to look into. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, thank you. It's growing. Dual enrollment continues to grow. We see a little fluctuation semester to semester, but we do a tremendous amount of outreach, and all of our district partners are incredible in working with us. Our vocational certificate enrollment, our CTE pathways, is something we look to grow, because as you can see, there is not a large number. I went back to spring of 22. There was a large push specifically in Volusia during that time too, and we did actually what we did today, which was bring the principals, bring the superintendent to the ATC, tour the campus, talk to them about the CTE opportunities that exist, and that resulted in that 56 students. But as you can see, by the time we got to fall, it dropped down to 33. So there's a lot of conversation. We work, when I tell you that I talk to them every single day, I really genuinely mean that. I'm usually on the phone with someone from one of the districts on my way to work every day, because we work very closely together, which I'm incredibly grateful for that partnership we have with them.
the districts, this is a conversation we have regularly about not only the opportunity for dual enrollment, but also increasing this, because many of these schools have academies, they have career pathways, and we want to make sure that that alignment exists. And so there are articulation of credit agreements that we have with our districts, but then we also have these educational pathways that we continue to educate them on to make sure that students can take advantage of that. We have at the Deltona campus, I believe we have 4 dual enrolled students in the new machining program. 2 of them are twins from Pine Ridge. This is just a snapshot. It's all across the board. This is all of the enrollment at every school that we have participation from this current semester. So as you can see, we have a few middle schools, not many. The middle school interest is growing. The middle school counselors have begun coming to the training we do for the high school counselors. They're starting to get more interest, and Volusia specifically is offering the PERT test to their eighth graders. They're screening them, they're looking at the ones that have taken a high school level course, and they're planning out PERT testing opportunities for those students so they can either begin in their eighth grade year or then begin when they enter ninth grade at their high school. So our homeschool population continues to grow. So we have about 208 traditional homeschool students that are registered with either Volusia or Flagler. But then which one is the, push the button, that's wrong. What you'll see that's new that we never had before is this here, this personalized education plan. So that is homeschool, but the personalized education plan is an iteration of the state's Step Up for Students scholarship. So it is an opportunity for parents that homeschool their children to receive funding from the state to homeschool them. But the caveat is that they withdraw their school district, their district home education agreement. So now we have home education, and then we have the PEP students, which are essentially homeschool as well. But that number continues to grow as well. Last year we had like 4,
yeah.
And now we have 18. And that money continues to increase, and we're seeing a lot more families reach out to us asking, my student is doing this, what does that mean for dual enrollment? As you can see, it's across the board. We have several private school partners that have articulation agreements with us, but even at the private schools, it's difficult sometimes. Those students often don't leave their school during the day, so they're typically only taking 1 or 2 classes at a time. We do work with Father Lopez, and they are teaching. We have some credentialed instructors at Lopez that teach our classes on their campus, because for the same reason, those students stay on their campus all day. Just some facts about our population. The average age for our dual enrolled students is 16.7. The youngest student we have this semester is 12. It's a home educated student, because for home educated students, they just have to verify that student has taken at least 1 high school level course. So if they're 12 years old and have taken that and their parent authorizes that they have, that student is eligible, as long as they meet the other criteria. The spring 24 for last academic year, our youngest graduate was 15, a student from Deltona High School. She had been previously homeschooled and did some advanced work as a home educated student and then transferred to Deltona. So she's already earned her AA degree and will continue on. And we see great success rates for these students. Again, they have to have already met that 3.0 high school GPA to qualify in the first place and demonstrated college readiness. So you really are getting students that are academically prepared, and they do very well with us. So back to what Jade was saying, many of our partner institutions in the Florida college system do provide limitations to the number of courses a student can take or limit them at the entry. A lot of other institutions have a more robust early college program where if a student wants to be full-time with their institution, they have to withdraw from their public school and go full-time to the college. We allow all students to be full-time and still have that high school relationship, and our students seem to appreciate that, but we are an outlier in that. When we go meet with our sister institutions, we are one of the few that allows all students to enroll full-time, and we see it works. In terms of graduates, we're hovering right around 200 a semester. I mean, y'all were there, you saw when Dr. Labasso asked the dual enrolled students to stand, it's half of the AA audience. And they're walking across our stage a week before they walk across ours, theirs. And so, as you know, we had Ava, Dr. Duquino's daughter, and the little girl with the blonde hair in the middle, that's Emily. She is the daughter of one of our
the Associate Director of Admissions, and it's wild to see. I met her when she was 3 when I started working here, so this is just crazy. You know, Dr. Lavasso's children have dual enroll in this program, and if I had a picture, I would put them up there too. But it's great when we have staff that have students going through it, because it allows us to keep it fresh and really know what the student experience is, both at the high school and through our own program. So none of our procedures, we're not married to any of these things. We continuously evaluate every year when we write our articulation agreement, as we meet with our district partners to really talk about, like, is this working? Is this in the best interest of the students? How do we make sure that we're consistently improving this process for everyone? In terms of engaging with our school partners and the community, we really are everywhere. So we just concluded our world tour. We used to go try to visit all of the high schools, but it's a lot, I'll be honest. And it's important for us to be able to talk directly to the counselors, because they're the ones that are seeing these students. We can give it to the principals, we can give it to the directors, but we want to always have that direct line to the counselors so they can ask us the questions the students are giving them, and we can make sure they have what they need. We're extremely grateful for both districts being willing to do what they do. So we used to go visit each individual school, but what we actually converted to 2 years ago is this world tour. So we do 2 dates here at the Daytona campus for the east side schools, and then 2 dates in the west side of the county, Deltona and DeLand, on our campuses. But the counselors from all of the middle and high schools come to us. And so we have over 30 people in each session, and we are able to go through all of the eligibility. We talk about the process, we talk about challenges they experience, we talk about how can we make this process better for you, how can we make sure we're reaching parents, and we take that feedback to make these adjustments. We attend the Volusia County Services kickoff meeting every year, which is again where we get in front of every single school counselor. We just left the Collaboration Council meeting. So twice a year we meet with Volusia County Superintendent and her cabinet, and do the same thing with Flagler to talk specifically about their school district needs. Not just dual enrollment, but dual enrollment is a big part of that conversation. And so as Dr. Lavasso mentioned, we just came from there. That was scheduled before this got rescheduled, but we were at the ATC this morning, and in this Collaboration Council meeting, we also included all 10 Volusia County principals in this Volusia meeting to give them a hands-on experience of what we offer at the ATC and really talk to the principals about what can we do to help make these connections for you. We do campus tours. As Jay mentioned, we credential an instructor at all 12 public high schools to teach our SLS 1122, which is the first class that students are required to take. So they have the option to take it at their high school, or they can take it in any modality with us as well. We offer information sessions every single week. We send postcards. We attend their CTE facilitator meetings. We do these pathways with the Academy alignment. We do parent nights on demand for all of our partner schools. And then we attend the data AP meetings as well to talk about what's going on at their school. So we are genuinely everywhere in both districts. And again, when we go visit, our FADEP is our Florida Alliance of Dual Enrollment Partnerships, and we talk to our sister institutions, they are all very jealous of the relationship we have. They're like, you go to their meetings? They don't have communication with them. It's like they do an agreement and that's the end of it. So we are very grateful. It wouldn't be as successful as it is if we didn't have these direct lines that we have. That was last month. We brought all of the West Side principals and CTE facilitators and some district leadership to the Deltona campus to show them the machining lab, so that we can show them the space, talk to them about how we can align the academies that exist at their schools, so that we can engage their students with this new program, and then it's eventually welding, which will also exist at the Deltona campus. For the spring, we just again returned on the backside of that flyer I gave you guys. We outlined which programs are going to start new cohorts in the spring so that we can make sure that we try to fill those available seats in these programs. We never have a problem filling welding. Students love welding. They love that helmet and the sparks probably. Welding fills every semester, but we really continue to try to engage students in the CNC machining, especially now that we have this really great new lab in Deltona. HVAC is very popular, as well as building trades. But we get students in all of these every semester. But as you can see, we only have 18 this semester, so we plan to grow that. But if you look at the length of the programs, most of these things are completed in two semesters. So imagine that. We track, again, they have to be 16 to start, so they do some strategic reporting on the district side to identify your rising sophomores, juniors, and seniors, right? Because they have to be 16 by the first day of class. And so we work to make sure that if a student starts this program, they could be done in two semesters and have a job, a very high-paying job in some of these fields. So we really try to help them understand how to connect those dots that way. That's the timeline. Registration, it's advising week right now. So we have pop-up advising happening all over campus. We have advisors in the student center walking up to every single student that's sitting in that space saying, hey, your burrito looks really good. Do you know when registration opens? Let's talk about your classes. And they're walking around with their laptops, and they are sitting down and advising them on the spot. And we took over the little study rooms over there. And then we also all week have been in that space doing schedule building workshops. So the schedule is open right now for people to window shop, and registration opens next week. So we're texting students, we're sending emails out, we have met with all the school counselors, sent this out everywhere, and making sure students know to do it early. And then they do have a deadline for dual enrollment to get their things in, because again, it requires layers of approval. This isn't a turn your form in, now you're registered. The school counselor has to authorize it, their parent has to authorize it, and then we have to review and make sure it's what they need for graduation. So there are many layers and a process for that. That is all I have to tell you. It's a lot, but I do have homework for you. Your homework, we are educators, right? That QR code on your sheet takes you to the dual enrollment webpage. I ask all of you to save that, have it open on your phone, and if anyone ever talks about dual enrollment, give them that link. It's everything I said to you today. It's the link to the information sessions, it's the link to how to get started, the application, all of that lives on that webpage as well as these dates. That's the best way you can help our community take advantage of this opportunity. Yes, sir.
Dr. Labasa, you know, it, to me, your staff is doing a heck of a job. But the piece that's missing is what I said, the counselors. You know, to reinforce that they need more counselors to access and to get the kids. I mean, these programs are, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't know about it and no one is there pushing them into it or helping them, then we're losing kids on the way. Mm-hmm. And your folks are great.
Yeah.
Now, would you like me to talk to the superintendent in Flagler County?
I mean, I think give us a shot to talk with them. I have to say, they are putting more resources into it than they had. Yeah. When I was doing enrollment back in, when I was in my younger days, was like 700 students. So you can see it's 2,300 students now. So it's grown considerably. And it doesn't grow without putting resources. So they are putting more, because, and the state has kind of helped incentivize them, because they now get points towards their school grade. So that's why you've seen it grow as much. So they are putting more resources in it. Having a I think their approach is they're because each high school would really need their own dedicated person. But I think rather than doing that, they've added another guidance counselor to their staff and spread it, because they approach these students like by the alphabet. So they're part of their workload. So if you follow my alphabet, I'm the person that has to help you not only with picking your classes at the high school, but also if you're in dual enroll, I'm managing that too. So I think it's a different way. My point is, I think they've added counselors. Over the years, a lot of these offices used to be two people offices, and they've grown over the years. And they are getting quite a bit of training from us, because when they manage their alphabet, they're helping a kid with their high school, because they have to. We have to make sure they complete their high school requirements. So it's hard to have just one person at each school do that and the dual, because they can't just do it. It's got to be kind of in concert. So
and they have all the programs. So they have that one, I'm trying to remember the name of it, where the kids you know, they're into a special program to get, oh man, the name slips me right now.
IB?
No, it's kids that are, you know, borderline or whatever, they have to be mentored, they have to be taken in, and then they're tracked.
Right. Talent?
Like the credit recovery students?
Trio program?
No, not the trio program. No. It's another one. So they have a bunch of them there. And, one day I was there because this one kid I was trying to help or whatever, and there was just one guidance counselor. They were more interested because there's funds coming in for these kids and the other kids and whatever. So they need to emphasize getting more counseling.
I think they see the value in because, and that's why you've seen it grow. I mean, literally it's gone from like 600 to 600-700 students to 2,300 students because now they see the value. Unfortunately, there's money behind doing that. So that's why there's more resources because now they get points towards their grade and they get points towards completion. So all these kids that get their AA with us is money for the school district. So the state's done a good job at trying to incentivize it to the point where I think they're putting resources. Is it perfect? You know, no. I mean, there's never enough resources for that. But you know, I mean, we certainly can talk with them about other things they can do to help with it. I mean, it's grown. It just each year grows and grows and grows. So I've not got the sense that we hit a wall, like we can keep growing, but we don't have enough, you know, on their side. But, you know, we'll keep an eye on it for sure.
Well, one thing you can mention to them, too, is, and I think both Volusia and Flagler, is that you have a lot of retirees in your community mm-hmm. that can do some of this counseling for you. It won't cost you anything.
Yeah.
You know, come in a couple of days a week or whatever and do it. You know, the folks are there, it's just how they coordinate and try and get them in. So, but, you know, you guys are doing fantastic, and you just need the schools to add that little to it so that they can help you some more.
One thought is the Take Stock in Children program.
I was thinking
that's where you may be going. And each of these children have mentors assigned to them. So perhaps, like through the Flagler County Education Foundation, I would suggest reaching out to Teresa Rizzo just to see through that program how you could educate the mentors.
Mm-hmm.
And then that can just help spread the word about it and trying to encourage conversation from there. Mm-hmm. So that may help you, you know, from that angle.
Great job.
I put the words back in your mouth.
Yeah.
Did you share that list of the enrollment by high schools with the superintendent?
Yes. I presented
that. Did you notice the one school that I've noticed that seems to be way down?
Mm-hmm. I sure did.
Yeah.
Yes. So I will add to Dr. Labasso's point, they have started to reinforce a little bit more on their side. Both districts in the last year have allocated administrative resources to support this. So Volusia hired Mike McCalla, who used to be the principal at Deltona High School. He is now the executive director for graduation and student success. It's a very long title. But he oversees the graduation success, but also the dual enrollment kind of outreach. That's been very helpful for us. First of all, to have someone who was a principal and understands what a school is capable of, and then also can put on that administrative oversight to say, here's how we're going to do this. Here's how we're going to deploy. So like for the CTE programs, they're pulling lists. They're pulling lists for the counselors and saying, here are your students that will be 16. They have the 2.0. These are the ones you need to target and talk to about this opportunity. So they're putting a little bit more administrative support behind them, which I think will also result in a little bit less of a burden on the counselors. I just lost what I was just saying. The enrollment numbers, though, I did a similar version of this. I presented to the Volusia County School Board last month. I did the same exact thing to their board. And I shared that chart of enrollment. by school.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the CTE numbers, and the principals took note. I've also been to the principals' meeting, and I've been to each individual area to kind of talk about what the enrollment looks like at each school and opportunities, and I promise you they're having conversations about
That's noticeable. And Michelle, one of the things I think would be helpful in that chart, because I noticed the same thing, and looking at as a Father Lopez grad, I was like, oh, I am pleased to see.
Sure.
I think you should do it by percentage of graduating seniors. Like, how many do they have as a percentage of their graduating senior class?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's going to measure your success rate per school better. So comparing, you know, just looking at it, it's like you're having great success with some schools. And others are, wow, that's like.
And that particular school has not always been that way.
Part
of the problem is, you know, when they change principals or guidance person, mm-hmm. then you'll, all of a sudden you'll see something like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we run reports so that we can, you know, knock on the superintendent's door and
sure.
say, see, you know, this is
you're running a temperature here.
You can do a lot better here.
Yeah.
You know, so and we had that issue, you know, really frankly, you know, before the current principal at Mainland. Mainland, you would think, right across the street would have been. It was one of the lowest enrolled dual enrollment schools in the county.
Mm-hmm.
They're right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
It was a philosophical thing, you know, with the principal that had been there a long time. And then there's a new principal, and now you see their numbers are through the roof. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and because they get the benefit, and they're sending us a ton of students, as they should, because it's good for the students.
Right.
So we do these, that's why we have these meetings with the superintendents regularly, give them a report card, and they see those glaring numbers, and if they don't, we kind of circle them, highlight
good.
Them. And
can you tell, Michelle, can you tell me how, like, the funding works?
Sure.
Is the school district, I mean, are the schools incentivized to kind of have us do the teaching?
Absolutely. So, and really quickly, just to tie that question up about, like, the difference in schools, one other thing that contributes that you see a variance in the public school specifically is you have some schools, each one has a little pocket of what they focus on. So you have some schools that are AP heavy, IB, two IB schools, and that's where they really kind of, you know, so, and these are competing acceleration options. We certainly have students that do both. It's very challenging, but you have AP, IB, and Cambridge, and so it really depends on what other things that school pushes and how readily, you know, so that's another factor. Funding for dual enrollment, so as I was talking, there was a slide. I think I just deleted it instead of something else because there was a slide about it and I don't remember seeing it. So it is $71.98 per credit hour. They basically get a 30% discount on tuition, the public school districts. So it's $71.98 per credit hour for college credit and $69.93 for vocational programs that we bill the school districts at the end of each semester. We offer the SLS 1122 at no cost to all 12 public high schools. We allow them to enroll up to 75 students per semester at no charge because we credential their instructors. So that's another conversation we've had quite often is you have this opportunity to engage 75 students on your campus. That's something we could really work to build as well. And they are having internal conversations. But we build the school districts every semester, and they are responsible for paying us for the authorized classes their students take. With our private schools, it's the same funding amount, but in 2022, the state created a dual enrollment scholarship, which I hate that they call it that because it sounds like it's for students, but it's for colleges. There's a dual enrollment scholarship program that we apply for every semester to receive funding back to cover what we're absorbing for private and homeschool students. Because since, I don't think we ever charged for homeschool ever, we absorbed their tuition always, but in 2018, we were then responsible for absorbing their books as well. So we've been absorbing all homeschool costs forever. And then in 2022, the state created this scholarship, which we are able to submit our home educated students as well as our private school students and their books to receive a scholarship from the state to cover those funds. So the agreement we have with our private schools is by statute you are responsible for paying this tuition. We are going to apply for the scholarship, but in the event we don't get it or it doesn't cover it, you then have to pay. So that's kind of where some private schools don't want to participate because they're not willing to cover the cost for their students. And again, by statute, they're legally prohibited from passing dual enrollment costs onto their students. So the private school has to pay if they, so that's why you only see, we have like 16 private school agreements, because that school has to be willing to pay the tuition for the students they authorize. So that's how funding works. So we do collect funds there, but it's at a discounted rate.
Great. All right. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good homework. Tell your friends, please.
Thank you. Oh, Bob, I do have a comment. My granddaughter graduated a couple of years ago, and I got to hand her diploma, some of you may recall.
Yes.
And the thing is she, in May of this year, at the age of 19, just shy of her 20th birthday, got her bachelor's degree already. So you think about, now in her case, I'll brag on her a little bit, she was on a full scholarship to UCF, but even if she wasn't, you just think about the cost savings that was for a student to not have to, you know, go through those four years
yeah.
if you will, for a degree. It's amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
And so yeah, now she's trying to figure out start working on her master's, I guess. But.
Right. Plenty of runway.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you. So it's a program that, you know, in my earlier years I was more involved with, and, you know, I think we used to have 600 or 700 students in, and it's just, you know.
That's amazing.
Tripled.
Yeah.
In,
it really
you
is.
Know, in the last, really in the last probably 12 years, it's just really just skyrocketed.
We get those counselors in there and, you know, start to measure by percentage, like I said, just who's in the red on their numbers, you know, like not, yeah, you're not participating, those numbers are going to double.
Yeah. So, but we have a good relationship and, you know, with, you know, both superintendents, like I pick up the phone and I've done that, like when we were having issues across the street, I was like, picked up the phone, I said, one of the biggest high schools in the county, right across the street, had the lowest number of dual enrollment students there.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd say, it's, you're the superintendent, but this is a benefit to the students, and they're just not getting, they're not getting access to it. So, very good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, great job.
All right, well.
We'll take a break and kick off at 2:00.
Yeah.
Okay.